Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scani Johnny podcast. It's me, Scani Johnny himself, with you, Jonathan Barnett, along with my co-host, the usual, Aaron Plottum.
What's going on, man?
Not big things, I guess. Not great things.
No, but winter is coming, and it's going to be a long one.
It is long and hard and difficult, possibly. So, first off, things we need to get to is this is the Scani Johnny podcast. You can listen to us, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, basically anywhere you're looking for your podcast. Please go out there, share us with your friends, give us the 5-star ratings if you can. It helps everyone else find us. Other things you can do is you can listen to us, find us here at Twitter, at ScaniJohnny1. You can also follow me at JBarn54. And Aaron, where are you?
At Cheddar Talk, John. At Cheddar Talk. Cheddar like the cheese, talk like the talk. Not like the walk, Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk.
I love just having you explain cheddar and talk to people.
It's going to get old really quick.
But yeah, but we let our hockey stuff slide.
I'll run that bit go for a while.
Don't say gopher.
sooner or later, I'll get edited out. I know what's happening
here. It does happen, yes. So the other thing I want to mention too, of course, the music you heard as we were coming in today is Cars and Trucks. That was one of their songs here is the one we always use, but we're always thankful for them for allowing us to use their music. They're a very good band. They have a lot of great things. We'll give them a listen. So Aaron, this was not a great week for us. And what we're going to do for everybody out there, you know, we try to end with positive. We try to build you up, get you ready for this week. But what we need to do this week, Aaron,
okay,
is we need to get ready for the rant.
Okay.
And it's coming. But we're going to build to the rant this week.
All right.
So what we're going to start with.
I'll hold it in a little bit longer here. I'll hold on. I take it my Bucks portion is going to be towards the front of the podcast is what you're saying.
Right. But what we're going to do, because we are a Wisconsin podcast, we will give you the brief rundown talking about UW hockey. We were looking down on men's hockey over the last couple weeks. Bad games. They had a split with Minnesota. They got just run out of the barn. They got boat raced by Ohio State the other week, but playing at Yost Ice Arena, clearly named for Ned Yost, or a completely different person. We're not sure. Nobody filled me in on that. Friday night, the Badger men's hockey team had a 1-0 lead in the second period, and that turned into a 1-1 tie. Mick Messner got the lone goal and the assist from Jared Zerbel. So that ended a 1-1 tie, and then Saturday, the Badgers jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Got a power play goal from Ty Emberson, from Keandre Miller, and one of my favorite Badgers, Seamus Malone. And then
I like it. I'll allow it.
That's a great name. The next goal came from Jack Gorniak, from Tarek Baker and Peter Tischke. They were up 2-0, and that, of course, led to a 2-2 tie. But on basically the tiebreaker point there to try to help in conference standings, the Badgers did win in a shootout 1-0. So Badgers go on the road to number 14, Michigan, and pull out kind of a win. They get the tiebreaker against Michigan there, and that's good. They can start pulling them back up. Maybe that's the sort of kickstart they need to this season. It's nice to get, you know, some of these names on the board. Gorniak's showing up a couple times. It's nice to see him getting in there. Seamus, Zerbel, getting some of the plays out there and, you know, finding ways to at least stay in games and stay competitive in a very tough Big Ten. But this kind of also led into what Wisconsin women had to deal with. Wisconsin women also had 2 overtime games this weekend. At home at the Laban Arena against the Harvard Crimson.
So regal.
Right, yes. So the Friday night game, actually, Harvard has a freshman goalie, Lindsay Reed, a freshman goalie. The game started off 1-0. Harvard had a lead, and then Annie Pankowski, who we've talked about a lot, she ties the game. Harvard gets ahead again, 2-1, and then Sophia Shaver, who we've also mentioned several times, ties the game. They go into overtime. Annie Pankowski gets the game-winning goal. Wisconsin outshot Harvard in the Friday game 50-16.
Wow.
That's just ridiculous to even talk about.
That's some pond hockey stuff right there.
Right. 50-16 and needed overtime. Freshman goalie. That's a heck of a game for anybody. So kudos to Lindsey Reed.
Biscuits to see flying at you.
That's a lot of hard rubber coming your way. But yeah, kudos to Lindsey Reed on a tough game there for Harvard. Saturday, much the same sort of thing, except for it went the other way. Britta Curl gave the Badgers a 1-0 lead, and Harvard came back to tie it, I believe, in the third. And then again, the Badger savior was Annie Pankowski, who had two overtime game-winning goals.
Of course she did.
Yeah. She's amazing. Everywhere.
She's going to be on the Olympic team here pretty quick, right? If she hasn't already.
You would have to think so. And she's been a force on this team and just an incredible goal scorer for this team through a lot of different plays. She seems to have one or two every weekend. I don't know how she wasn't leading the league early on in scoring, but I think she's going to be catching up and getting to that top spot by the end of the winter here, whenever early spring. She's playing just incredible hockey, and Shaver also, and there's the other Sophie as well. But yeah, they've got obviously still the number one team in the country and playing like it. Speaking of number one ranked Wisconsin hockey programs, UWSP hosted the holiday tournament Friday and Saturday after the Thanksgiving festival, and they did not overeat their turkey as they beat Nichols 5-2 and then beat Utica 4-1.
Utica?
So, yeah. Number three ranked.
That's impossible.
Yeah, they did. Number three ranked St. Norbert beat Stevenson 3-0 and then lost to Newman. No, I'm sorry. They beat Newman. I'm thinking of the other one. They beat Newman 4-1. Neumann. Newman. The loss actually was UW Eau Claire, who split the weekend in a weekend series with Finlandia. They won 4-3 and lost 1-0. And for Aaron, just for Aaron, UW Superior beat Northland 6-3. 6-3, Aaron.
Thank goodness. It's about. After I saw that, that they'd lost to them before, I was kind of pale between the legs on that one. I have everything right here. Why wouldn't I, you know? So, beat Northland College on Saturday, 6-3. We'll work up there. Northland, of course, 3-4-1 at UW Superior. UW Superior scores two goals in each of the frames in a game that went 2 hours and 20 minutes.
UW Superior, definitely a home team. They're 2-2-1 at home and 1-4 on the road. Leaving them 3-6-1. They have not played any.
They fit in well with the Wisconsin teams in the home versus away records. We're going to talk about that with the Bucks a little bit later on, too. So, goal scored by UWS by Troy York, Will Blake, Jordan Martin, Chad Lopez, Andrew Durham, and Arthur Trekvec. Garver, you can give me some hell about that if I got that name wrong. And then, of course, UW Women last played on Tuesday and lost to Augsburg. Augsburg, one of the better teams in the conference, 5-1-1. UW Superior fell at home to them 2-0. Both goals scored by Augsburg in the second frame. And, of course, UW Superior, no goals. So I can't talk about who scored goals in that game. But, John.
Perfect. So the other thing we lead into,
we covered the whole state, but you know what, we're gonna have a showdown here in a couple days to see who's got bragging rights between your team and my team, because on Saturday, December 1st, it is UW Stevens Point goes to Cinto Westman Arena on South Catlin Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin, for a showdown. We'll see who's got the better team then, John.
Yeah, and to be fully clear, I went to UW La Crosse, which does not have a hockey team, sadly.
Fair enough.
Yeah, unfortunate for us. But my other alma mater, the University of Wisconsin, in terms of men's basketball, they look pretty good right now. They're number 22, they've had some really good plays. Hap has played really well. Rivers has looked good, and Trice Trice has played great. Had the battle for Atlantis, which of course I assume means it's the Bad Boy Mowers battle for number four, Atlantis. Yes. Now, when you say it's the battle for something, like the battle for the Palouse or the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe or the battle for the troll or whatever, battle for the bronze boot.
Ranting is later, John.
Yeah, yeah. The battle for the bronze boot, which is one of the greatest trophies out there, too, by the way, if you don't know about it, because it's an actual boot from Vietnam, I believe, too. But anyhow, the winner takes the thing they're battling for. So, you know, I guess congratulations to University of Virginia. Atlantis will now be in Virginia. It almost came to Wisconsin.
They have the perfect civilization. Good for them.
Yeah. I thought they got the resort.
I don't think of that with Western Virginia, but yes.
No, just Virginia. So, I mean, Wisconsin played, I mean, they're not bad teams. They beat Oklahoma. Well, they beat Stanford first in a game where Wisconsin just outshot them, outmuscled them, was all ahead of them pretty early and played very well. Stanford played some good defense, but the Badgers got out ahead and won. And then they went and played Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma by 20.
And I don't know how I don't keep up with college basketball as well as I used to, but I mean, Oklahoma's always had a pretty solid program. So, you know, just to lay down 20 on anybody, I'm guessing that's pretty good.
Yeah. And they shot 63.6% from 3-point in that game. And Trice was 7 of 8 to give him 25 points. Happ had 14, 12 for Reavers, 14 for Kobe King. It's good to see get some other guys getting out there, getting points for the team. And it's a deep field that they've got out there. And they're playing a lot of that bench and getting guys ready for, you know, whatever it is that they're going to be coming up with next. Definitely, that was a great game. Then after that, they got through and got to play University of Virginia against Wisconsin's own Tony Bennett, coaching the Cavaliers of Virginia, UVA. And that one didn't go quite as well.
Not to be confused with Tony Bennett, who sings the song at the beginning of our show, by the way.
Or you know, Tony Bennett, the former Packer linebacker.
Or the crooner. How many other Tony Bennetts are there? Sorry, anyways. Yeah. Yes, Tony Bennett coached for Virginia.
Yeah, Tony Bennett, who's from Point. His dad coached at Point. His uncle coached at Point. Then his dad coached the Badgers. He played, of course, at UW-Green Bay. Got them to the Sweet 16 the one time. So Tony Bennett, pretty famous around Wisconsin. But yeah, the number four ranked Virginia Cavaliers took down Wisconsin 53-46. Absolute barn burner of a game. If you like defense, you love this game. Badgers could not get their three-point shot from anywhere and could not get the points up. And it's a tough loss, but I mean, they move up from that. They played even with this team. They got down early and fought their way back. You can't feel bad about a loss like this at this point. I think you feel very good about this team.
No, it's that quadrant thing. It's that quadrant thing again.
Yeah, I guess
they lost the number four team in the nation. It's not going to hurt them in the end.
Yeah, so 5-1. And even though we just played an ACC school, they will be playing the ACC, the ACC Challenge will be Tuesday against NC State. And that will be the last, well, then they'll start getting some. I was going to say it was the last game before conference play, but there's going to be conference play followed by not conference play. They will get number 14 ranked Iowa on the 30th. Then they'll play Rutgers. And then they're going to play the Marquette, Savannah State, Grambling, Western Kentucky, and moving on from there. So
I didn't grow up down here, John, and you went to UW. Is Marquette Badgers a rivalry in any way, shape, or form?
It is, especially in my law firm where I went to Madison and my law partner went to Marquette. It is in basketball. Marquette has the more recent national title. The Badgers last won it in like the 40s, which, sad to say, at the time, the NIT was the more prestigious championship, more prestigious than the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
But Marquette.
People don't realize that, but yes, that used to be a big thing to be in the NIT because you had to be invited to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it is a rivalry. It feels pretty big. At this point, Wisconsin's been a lot better for a while now, it feels like. Marquette's going to get better, but they just need to just keep building and get there. They kind of play different sets. Marquette has always looked to be more of a fast-moving, kind of up-tempo team, it feels like, more so than Wisconsin, which tends to be the, you know, the slower, we're going to play some defense, we know the sorts of guys we're looking for. They fight over a lot of the same recruits, but in some ways they kind of don't as much because they're looking for slightly different things at times. But it definitely matters. It's definitely great. What I love is Wisconsin does spend their time to make sure they play the state schools. So they'll have Marquette. Actually, I don't see that they do have the normal playing Milwaukee and UWGB on their calendar this year, but they normally do play all the other state schools. I don't see them on the Badgers calendar for this year, though, unfortunately, because those are...
Say the other thing, Marquette's had kind of two flashier big names in the NBA recently with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. Wisconsin, who's the guy that played for the Mavericks? He could jump like 3 miles.
Oh, Finley.
Year. Yeah, thank you. I mean, has there been a big Wisconsin NBA star in recent memory? I mean, I know Decker and Kaminsky are kicking around in the league, and they're good players, but, I mean, as far as stars go, Dwayne Wade was one of the biggest stars in the league for a long time.
Yeah, and he did for a long time. Devin Harris was very good for a period. He kind of fell off more quickly, though. His career tailed off more quickly than what happened to Finley. But Devin Harris was an incredible shooter. Watching him play, I used to just he would throw up a shot and I would just yell at the TV about, and like, why would you take that shot from there under pressure? And then it would go in and they're like, all right, you made it, but I still don't like that shot, you know. So okay. But yeah, no, it's they don't go for it.
Decker and Kaminsky were amazing their senior years. I mean, it got them all the way to a national championship game. But no, I remember, and I think Finley's career tailed off when he just couldn't jump 5 feet in the air anymore, because that was kind of his game. But yeah, that guy was a freak. But
yeah, and he played with Rashad Griffith on some of those early teams that started making the tournaments and making some runs, and Griffith really thought he was going to be a star. And when he wasn't going to be immediately a high pick, he went to Turkey and then just stayed there for the rest of his career,
because why not?
Yeah, because he was making a lot of money and things were cheap, and he just stayed in Turkey, and he was a star for them. And he's like, this is great. I like this.
This is one of those MSNBC or MSN.com clickbaits. It was top 10 players, professional basketball players that never played in the NBA. And all of them are guys who went to Europe or were born in Europe, like, you know, Spanish players that were like, why on earth would I want to go to the United States? And when I'm the biggest player in my country, yeah, I could make millions more, but I could also be the biggest star in this country, you know, and forever be a hero here instead of being the guy that left and went to the States. And so I can see it. Like, you probably went to Turkey, dominated, and went, why on earth would I want to go get my butt handed to me in the NBA and then come crawling back here when I can just stay here? You know, I don't blame a guy for doing that stuff. Plus, some of those countries pay stupid money for some of those stars for what they're worth.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it was all in all a very good week for Wisconsin basketball at this point. They've got a lot of good players that are actually putting up the numbers they should. It's so great to have Demetric Trice back and ready to play and playing at such a high level, getting a lot of play out, a lot of different players out there. Kobe King, Rivers, Hap is playing great.
And it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's been great to watch out there. So very, very excited about Wisconsin basketball season, and that's what we're trying to focus on. In terms of professional basketball, it's been a little up and down, and more of the down in the last week or so, Aaron. What's going on with the Bucks?
Well, it's about 500, I guess. So when we convened our last podcast, that was last Monday night, they just beat the Nuggets at home. And then now over the course of the week, they had four games concluding tonight with the Hornets. They played the Trailblazers on Wednesday, the Suns on Friday. Yeah. And then they played, I got a million tabs up right now on this one because there's so many games this week. They played the Suns. They played the Trailblazers, the Suns, the Spurs, and the Hornets tonight. Beat Trailblazers handily, 143-100 on that game. Get you some stats on that. Leading scorer for the Bucks, Giannis, 33 points, 13 of 20, including 6 from 9 for the free throw line. pretty much, if you look at the stat line enough as it is, the Bucks never trailed in this game. They scored the quarterly points, but to get to 140, I mean, this is some Phoenix Suns circa 2000 numbers right here. I mean, 31, 41, 37, 34. I mean, which you need to score that many to get to 140. So some dynamic stuff right there coming out of the scoring. If you look at the probability of winning was 100%. And again, this makes me happy. Fiserv Forum, 100% capacity. They were actually over capacity. 17,500 is their number. Their attendance that night was 17,591. And that was on the 21st, which would be, what day of the week was that? That was Tuesday, right?
Oh, you're killing me with numbers.
Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They packed the house Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which it's not your usual Wednesday night, but to put any that amount of people in the stadium on a Wednesday night is pretty decent regardless. So so move on to the next game. Bucks drop a stinker at home to the Phoenix Suns, who last I checked, Devin Booker is their best player. Giannis led the scoring for Milwaukee again, 35 points on 14 of 16 shooting, which is unbelievable. But the Bucks were never ahead in this game either. And the one thing that the Suns have been known for all season long really is that they're not good. They're young. They have no veteran talent. I think their average age, and this is me just fact check me if you want to at Cheddar Talk, but I think their average age is like 23.5 years old or something ridiculous like that. Like it's all a bunch of kids on a professional basketball team. So, but again, so Friday night over Thanksgiving, 17,852 beat capacity by 52 points. That's insane. So after dropping a stinker to the Phoenix Suns, Spurs come into town. The always tough Spurs, where Coach Bude came from. Giannis on a tear over the last couple games here. So after 33 and 35, Giannis puts up 34 on 9 of 16 shooting. So once again, above 50%. And 16 free throws to go with that. That was one thing. I think one thing that he's got that a lot of other big men have not had over the years. Now, is Kevin Durant a big man because he's 7 foot tall? But free throw shooting, this guy's really good at it. DeRozan from the Spurs also put up 34 points in the game. This one was tightly contested throughout. Bucks end up pulling out that one on 135-129 at the end. Fiserv Forum for the third straight night in a row, 17,559. Good job, Milwaukee. You know what? If you're going to get a new stadium and an exciting new team, show up for it. You know, that's unbelievable. And then, of course, tonight, just before we went post Milwaukee Bucks at the Charlotte Hornets, not a lot to say. They only put about 70% of the people in their stadium. So, I mean, that should say something right there. But, yeah, so the Bucks lost tonight 110-107 to the lowly Charlotte Hornets. That brings them to a record of 14-6, which that means they're still in second in the East. But not with Jimmy Butler, you know. At first, everybody was kind of pretty sure that Jimmy Butler was going to be a disease when he got to anyone who lives within, 300 miles of Chicago or Minnesota. Pretty much figured that he was going to be, kind of diseased when he got to Philadelphia, and he'd kind of dragged that team down with him. But Jimmy Butler hit some game-winning shots for them in the last two games. He had game-winning shots. And so they've got the talent out there as well. And, you know, are they going to – 76ers going to start sneaking up here, or what's going on? I'm trying to – I didn't have the standings up. Shame on me right now. I know that the Bucks were in second. I looked at it just before I closed that tab out by accident. So Raptors are at 17-4. So, I mean, they're not – they don't have a massive lead on the Bucks. Bucks 14-6 now, like I just said. 76ers are 14-8. So they've got two more losses. And then there's a pretty steep drop-off after that. Detroit, 10-7. Indiana, 11-8. Then 10-10, Charlotte. 10-10, Orlando. And 10-10, Boston Celtics. Explain that one to me, John. So, I mean, there you go. And then you got the Clippers on top of the West as well. So, I mean, the Phoenix Suns are the worst team in basketball, arguably. The Atlantic Hawks are – Atlantic. I was thinking of Atlantis again. The Atlanta Hawks are 4-6. The Suns are 4-5. One of their four wins are against the Bucks. So, I mean, with a point differential of negative – almost negative 10 points. So, officially, the Hawks are the worst team. That all said, playing the Bulls on Wednesday night at home, and then they go to New York and the Knicks on Saturday, and then those are the only two games. After a busy week and a lot of stats to try and fit into a short amount of time there, I wish I could have went into more depth on every game. Connington had a giant dunk in the game tonight. I love that guy. It would have taken me an hour of show just to do the Bucks, because four games in the last week since we last talked. So next week, it's going to be a little bit lighter. I'll have the Bulls game to talk about and the Knicks game to talk about. Figuring that should be two wins right there. So
yeah, the big thing is it seems like Giannis always puts up these big games, and he's been producing in every single game. He hasn't let down at all. They just have to have one or two other people step up. Like one of those losses was Brooke Lopez going 0-for-12 from three. And, yeah, you just can't have days like that.
That was a stat I wanted to bring up. Thank you for reminding me of that.
He needs just somebody, anybody else, to step in there and just do something to save the – just to boost him up, because he's carrying quite a heavy load with this team. But, Aaron, speaking of heavy loads – the heavy load that all Wisconsin bears right now is our football teams are just killing us slowly.
I'm just glad that the Bucks and the Badgers basketball teams and the UW women's hockey team is good, because I know before we go into this eulogy, the patient isn't dead, but the priest is standing bedside ready to read him his last rites. Yes, they could still make the playoffs, but in Packerland, and yes, the Badgers do have a bowl game left, but thank God these other teams are playing well. It's kind of like when the Brewers lost and we got to go into NFL season, but
And those both let us down. The big letdown, first off, was the Badgers, who were an 11.5 point favorite.
Minnesota teams. Why Minnesota? We can't let them have that.
Yeah, now their fans will exist again.
They're unbearable, too. Oh, they're the worst.
And, my son has now, for the first time in, he'll be 13 in April. He's never seen a gopher hold the axe. And now he has. It wasn't going to last forever. It just wasn't. But this shouldn't have been the team that beat the Badgers. This gopher team's not special. They're not. The Badgers played an insanely bad game. The Badgers actually had more yards than the Gophers. They had more first downs than the Gophers. But the Gophers got four turnovers. And I think the thing that bothers me most is that the things that have hurt the Badgers the most this year have been a defense that had gave up, again, at this point, 37 points to the Gophers, who are not a good team, at home in a game you needed to win to just do anything here. But the Gophers wanted it more, and they needed it to get bowl eligible. But they needed it last year, too, to get bowl eligible. This is...
That offense, 27 donut last year, we beat them in the last game.
I can't remember the score, but we beat them pretty handily in Minnesota. And here's the thing, is like this Badgers team, the offensive line was supposed to be just amazing, right? Like they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the Sports Illustrated jinx lives large and true, because this offensive line has not been good. They have not been a special group of offensive linemen. There were four turnovers in this game, all of them by Hornibrook, and everyone jumps on Hornibrook for him, but two of them were strip sacks where he did not have time to do anything. That is the offensive line's fault. Another one was a rollout. It was not a designed rollout, but he had to roll out to get away from the pressure because he couldn't step up in the pocket because they're getting killed up the front and from the backside. So he rolls out, and actually he's trying to throw to Ferguson, if you watch this play, and they're like, wow, he threw it too high. But no, they're thinking he was throwing to the guy who got hands on it. The wide receiver, number three, I forget his name, jumps up, gets two hands on the ball a little bit, doesn't catch it, but tips it into the air. The ball is aimed directly at Ferguson's chest. I mean, like, Ferguson's in great position. The defender's behind him. He's turned. It's going to be a first down. And number three jumps up and tips the ball into the air. And that's a pick.
Here in Wisconsin, we call that the Bostick. We call that the Bostick.
The other interception was one where, yeah, Hornibrook did not see the linebacker hanging in the middle on the zone. And he was throwing a crossing route to Ferguson. The announcers of this game spent a lot of time saying, oh, the Gophers are young. Gophers are young. They don't know what it's like to win. These Badgers are experienced. They were playing three sophomore wide receivers, a sophomore running back. They were playing a freshman tight end is one of their best receivers. Their defensive backfield, they're starting three different freshman cornerbacks. They have no senior cornerbacks on this team, or juniors, by the way. They have Dakota Dixon and two good linebackers in the middle, and then they have a bunch of freshmen. They're starting a true freshman nose tackle in this game. By the way, the Badgers are young too, but our Badger young guys are better than theirs, and maybe now they'll be angry. I have never seen a Badgers team play this far below their abilities. Barry Alvarez had a bunch of guys who always played at or above their abilities. And say what you want about Bielema, his guys always got better, and they always played above their heads. They did. And this team went in this season, it felt like they thought they'd already won something, and now they've won nothing. They have won nothing. I guess.
Well, maybe the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, they won the Heartland Trophy in Kinnick, which was good, and they won the Freedom Trophy against Nebraska. But they lost the Axe, which is the most important trophy. They didn't win the West. They're going to let Northwestern go play in a championship game next week instead of Wisconsin because we just didn't do several different things. And the Big Ten West, who, other than Chris, has some of the chestiest, most obnoxious coaches in football. Northwestern's coach is just an obnoxious punk.
I knew what you were going to say there.
And Fleck is terrible.
Way to rein that one in.
Oh, yeah,
just
no.
Just a bad man.
He's a bad man, and I don't like him. And he did it again last week where he's like, oh, yeah, I get no respect. We get nothing. Everybody's always mean to us. In a game where they were picked to win, they were favored to win and then won at, like, home. And they're like, oh, nobody thought anything of us. You know, and now I'm mad. And you're like, man, everybody thought you were going to win that game. Like, what are you doing? Seriously, though, if the Badgers don't commit four turnovers, they win this game. They just do. And everybody's going after Hornibrook because he's the easy target because he's the quarterback, and you always blame the quarterback. But
in fairness, I went after him last, John. I did.
It's this offensive line and this defense. This defense was promised to us to be like the last several years of defense. This defense has regressed. Obviously, Sagapalu's been injured. We're playing with a bunch of freshmen in the backfield. Dakota Dixon's been injured most of the year. We've been playing with second and third string safeties a lot. And we don't have a pass rush off the edge. The two starting inside linebackers are great and have played great. But remember, too, Hornibrook from last year lost Fumagalli, who's playing in the NFL now. And he lost Cephas, who has a jury trial in February. He lost his two best receivers. Everyone else is a sophomore or a freshman on that team in the receiving core.
It kind of sounds like the situation in Green Bay on the professional side, except for he's getting sacked because he just holds on to the ball too long and is short-hopping his receivers, as opposed to Hornibrook just doesn't have time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the parallels with the young, new people, same thing.
It hurts his ability to develop when he doesn't have the time in that offense to actually throw the ball. And when he has some time, he throws well. And you're like, I'm not saying that Hornibrook's like an elite or a great or a very good quarterback, but he's okay. He's an okay guy. He's a guy who, like last year, you give him a great defense, he'll be undefeated. You give him a great defense, he'll be undefeated. You give him a good defense, he'll win games. You give him a good offensive line. This offensive line has been subpar, and this defense has been average. And now he's just a winning quarterback because he can't do this all. He's got a great running back behind him, who, by the way, is also a sophomore. And, it's just so much attacking some kid for a college football game where he's really not the only one screwing up out there, but he's the only one getting any blame out there on this team. And that's just, it's just too much.
I also wanted to bring up too, that he's doomed from the beginning because outside of Steve Young, the pickings are pretty slim on great all-time left-handed quarterbacks.
Steve Young,
Ken Stabler, Boomer Esiason, Mark Brunell, and then Michael Vick, who was more for running than for throwing. But there's your stable of left-handed quarterbacks. He's already had a disadvantage.
I had a what was the old game? There was the Dreamcast. I had a Dreamcast when I got out of basic training stuff. I bought myself a Dreamcast. And
three other people, yes.
Yeah, that's old too. But I got was the old like 2K. So it was one of the original, you know, NFL games for that system. And I started a fake team and put them in the NFL because I can only play as the Packers in those games because I can't stand being any of the other teams, but I don't want to be, I don't play those ones as much. So I made a fake team and I was playing with them. And I drafted a young quarterback who was a pretty fast left-handed black quarterback. And this is like 2000, 2001. And I was like, left-handed black quarterback. That's amazing. That'll never happen. And then, you know, then Vic came out. And I was like, oh, look at, there he is.
Yeah.
It's been done
God,
now.
They need to bring back NCAA football on PlayStation.
It's not that hard an idea. All you have to do is create a system that would randomly generate faces and names and numbers.
Right.
And just and say, like, oh, but this team will always have a running back of some ability. And, you know, just you can take their playbooks. That's easy because that just belongs to the school. And they say, like, this team has lines. This team has defensive lines. This team has good defenses. And then it moves from there. You could just set it up like that. People would play it.
Well, yeah, because once you set your franchise anyways, once you set your dynasty anyways, within four seasons, it's all fake players anyways.
Yeah, and the best thing to do is take somebody like Wyoming or Idaho.
Right.
Well, Idaho wouldn't be in the game probably now, but those sorts of teams, or Army.
Or you just start your own team and, you know, you eliminate Minnesota and replace them with UW Superior. And in the world of my PlayStation 3, UW Superior was a 9-time national champion. It produced some of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, my brothers and I made one where we had Barnett A&M and Barnett State. And then my brother Dan, who lives in Peoria, made Bradley University, which is, you know, obviously a real university, but they don't have a football team anymore. But that'd be an easy fix, and they need to get that done at some point. But I don't know. Anything else you have to say in terms of our general venting on this? Is we're going to await what pathetic bowl game we're going to be in.
The ILoveBlueCarpet.com bowl.
Jeez. Somebody was saying it was like the red box is the projected bowl. I don't even know where that is.
It's going to be the red box, the pinstripe, or the like Gatorade bowl or something. Like
Gator bowl still a thing. At least that one has a name that I would recognize. The pinstripe bowl is recent. It's a newer one. That's kind of where I thought we'd go. I can't remember where
the problem is with the pinstripe bowl is that even though it's a pretty cool concept because it's in New York City, it's at Yankee Stadium, and that's all pretty cool. That's not a good recruiting base. I mean, outside of New Jersey, but the Northeast is not a good recruiting base. You want to end up somewhere in Texas or Florida or somewhere down south for recruiting. And I want to say it was the Gator. Maybe it was a Gator Bowl. I don't remember. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess that's where we're going to be looking for there. Nothing too exciting there. The best part of it.
At least it's not the Humanitarian Bowl, which is Boise State's backup just in case they can't get into a bowl.
Yeah.
They're just playing on their home field.
Meanwhile, by the way, Army is 9-2. And they're going to crush Navy. They're going to crush Navy. That's coming.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Navy's like 2-8.
It's a big to-do down here at the Janesville VFW, so I'm headed over there. December 8th, yep, for that game.
Yep. Go Army, beat Navy. As I like to remind everybody that remember that those guys, they're all out there for a football game, and they're playing a game, and they're going to play hard. But remember, at the end of the year, a few short months, they're going to be the most obnoxious, self-righteous officers in the Army and the Navy. You thought I was going to go somewhere special with that, but no.
I did. I thought you were going to say at the end of the game, the freshman players will still be scrubbing toilets, which is one of the few things. But
that's true.
The plebes will still be scrubbing those toilets, but which would be a semi-honorable thing. But yes, they will be some of the most obnoxious.
I've told it before. I watched a West Pointer 02 tell a an 05 why he would not change the PowerPoints that he was briefing the 05 on. So it's the first lieutenant telling a lieutenant colonel, no, I'm not going to change the slides that I prepare for your briefing because I think they're better this way. Because the one guy, the lower ranked guy, it was a West Pointer, and he thought he knew better than the rest of us, even though he was in a room full of people who all outranked him, and then some NCOs. But it's like, we all thought he was dumb.
Anyhow, did his name start with an S?
Well, you know who I am. It was the second S2 that we had.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that was an uncomfortable
meeting. Yeah, because the first S2 wasn't a... wasn't a West Point grad. No, was actually pretty decent.
Not a ring knocker, because they like to, while holding a glass or a beer bottle, they will tap their West Point ring against the glass throughout any conversation you have with them to remind you that they went to a different school than you.
That's the same guy that didn't want to use my plan because it while it made sense and it solved the problem immediately, he didn't come up with it.
Yeah, well, that was the 03 or the S3 actually. I think you're talking about. Our plan, the Sunshine Flotum plan.
Anyhow. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that one offline. Anyway.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I think we're starting to get into some secret stuff now.
We can't describe any of the details of that plan or what it involved, obviously, to anybody here, but it's still...
Stuart's secret squirrel stuff. Yeah. Stew.
There's definitely painful things. Anyhow, yeah. Speaking of painful things, the Green Bay Packers continue to just crap on our hearts.
They didn't even crap on our hearts. There was nothing redeeming about that game last night whatsoever.
It was none. Seriously, in the second half, I think the Packers had 43 yards of offense at one point in four drives. Aaron Rodgers missed Davante Adams, who was wide open. Not like, hey, he's got a step. He was open by 4 or 5 yards in the end zone.
Yes.
Just missed him. He throws every pass off his back foot, even when there's no pressure, which is most of the time there's not much pressure. Always throwing off his back foot. I don't understand.
I think that's what they were talking about. I can't remember if it was on Drew Olsen today on the Big 920 or if it was on Dan Patrick. But basically, it had to have been Drew Olsen because it was way too personal to Wisconsinites. But it was, you know, they always, you know, Mike McCarthy, well, we got to get back to the fundamentals. We got to get back to the fundamentals. No player in the NFL needs to get back to the fundamentals, and nobody's been taught the fundamentals since eighth grade. However, that said, Aaron Rodgers throwing off his back foot is not fundamental in any way, shape, or form. It's bad quarterbacking. And
it makes him less accurate.
Last night during the game, like as if he was reading tarot cards, goes, oh, it looks like David Bakhtiari's on the sidelines. This isn't going to be good. Buried. Just buried. And it's starting to come out on Twitter, too. You're starting to see people asking questions like, how many third and less than five plays this year has Aaron Rodgers been sacked on?
It's a lot because he just doesn't – they know we're running or that we're going to throw. They know we're going to throw, and they just come at us because we're predictable at this point, and there's nothing we can do about it. We have to stay on tempo. We have to stay on track to our first downs and need to have manageable third downs because the ball's not going to come out in less than 3 seconds. It just doesn't anymore. Aaron Rodgers...
I haven't seen a quick slant all year.
And you keep looking at this, too. If you want to just go back and watch the film of Aaron Rodgers striding into his throws in 2014 and then watch the way he throws now, just watch that one film and then go to the other. And it's just ridiculous how much he's not doing the things he did then. The back when he was playing great and amazing, and he could beat you by himself, it seemed. But he's not seeing open guys. He doesn't stride into his throws, and he's not accurate. He is not an accurate quarterback now, and it's not anyone else's fault. There's nobody who is more on the same page as Aaron Rodgers as Davante Adams, considering the fact that Cobb doesn't play much now because he's always hurt, but he just misses him.
Sorry. It's been like a month.
And it's just that he's not hitting open guys at all. No. And they're out there.
He had another one they skipped to a short player yesterday. I think it was EQ.
It was EQ.
He skipped it to him.
Yeah, just missing guys on short throws, on tempo throws, and he can't get the ball out fast enough. If he stayed in the pocket and let go of the ball quickly, he'd be fine because guys can get open. Devontae Adams is, whenever he wants to be, he's open. He was killing Xavier Rhodes out there yesterday. And he had 5 targets in the first half and got 2 more targets like the rest of the... No, maybe he had 4 targets and only got like 2 more targets the rest of the game. Either way, like, it's frustrating because I was really watching because he's on several of my fantasy teams because Yahoo and ESPN massively underranked him this year because he's going to be a top 5 receiver. Devontae Adams went over 1,000 yards yesterday.
Anyone know it.
He had the first time... This was an interesting stat I got on Twitter. He now has double-digit touchdowns for the 3rd straight year. The last time that happened was Sterling Sharp.
Wow.
A lot of people out
for
there.
For the Packers or in the NFL? Because
just for the Packers.
Just for the Packers. I was going to say, okay. Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, who else would have strung it together? Antonio? No.
Jennings, you'd think maybe, or maybe Jordy, but none of them did.
No. James Jones had, like, 35 touchdowns 1 year on 36 receptions, but yeah, with the hood on. But yeah, no, it's the difference between, you know, these national people that come in and call the games and the national writers writing for the big services that, you know, are taking, you know, just see the game from time to time. And then you start hearing some of the local guys and then some of the good fans like me and you that actually watch games and actually see what they're happening. And, he gets a pass. Rodgers gets a pass by everybody. You know, it's just like, well, you know, but even so, Dan Patrick this morning even was calling it into question. Patrick's a smart, smart man. You know, he's a very good reporter. He's fun in games. You know, he's entertaining, but I mean, he's smart and he's seeing it. You know, he's starting to call it out too. Like, you know, to this point, it's McCarthy's fault. And he said, so at what point is it Aaron Rodgers' fault? You know, and he started saying the same things we're saying. And then, you know, but what I was getting at is that us people that see this week to week to week to week to week, this is the crap that was starting to happen at the end of Brett Favre's career too. Like, just doesn't care. And I don't know. I mean, having watched enough baseball teams tank down the stretch and enough NBA teams tank down the stretch, I'm wondering if Gutekunst went and told McCarthy week 3 or something, I don't know, sometime at some point when it obviously wasn't gelling, that you're done at the end of this year. So, but you're going to be the coach till the end and then we're going to fire you. And Rodgers knows that and they just all know that. And they're just dead man walking and they're doing the suck for luck thing right now. I don't know. I can't tell. The problem is that they've been ahead in every single game against the Rams, against the Patriots, against the Vikings. Who was before the Rams?
There was Seahawks.
Seattle was the other one I missed. That's 4 straight games in a row. They had the lead in every single game. And so they're obviously not intentionally tanking. What is going on with anything after halftime? I mean, it's like the epitome of every single important game in Mike McCarthy's post-game or regular season career all wrapped into one season. How many games can we crap out in the second half? And it's just getting out schemed at halftime, apparently. I mean,
yeah, I just don't think we're making enough changes. We come out and try to just go at it again. I'm glad they stuck with the run more in the second half this time than the week before, but Rodgers is just missing so many guys out there, and it's just,
you know, and the whole sticking up for Rodgers with he's got nobody to throw to is a load of bull because, as pointed out again on Dan Patrick this morning, you know, hey, here comes Flott on the Patriots, apologies. Outside of Randy Moss, Tom Brady's never has anyone really good to throw to outside of Gronk. And I mean,
That's not true.
They never won, James White out of the backfield, but he's a running back.
Wes Welker, he had,
Deion
Branch, who was a Pro Bowler on other teams too. So
receivers. I'm just saying, like, never a big plethora. It's not like he's ever rolled out a squadron of really good wide receivers. And when he had a Hall of Fame wide receiver, they never won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees is rolling out there with a bunch of people who probably people on his own team don't even know who their names are. They went out and signed Dez Bryant in desperation to have another wide receiver with any kind of high-end caliber. And then he promptly tore his
They do have Michael Thomas, though.
They do. They have Michael Thomas. And then what? So it's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He's got Devontae Adams, and it's a, well, they don't have anyone around him. Well, neither does Breeze. Neither does Brady.
Not true. Those guys both Rivers, have great players around
Rivers
him.
Really does it.
Well, no, Rivers has Keenan Wilson, Allen
Wilson's
and some
never,
other
Wilson's
role
never
players.
Had a top-tier receiver.
No, that's
unless
true.
Unless you want to finally tell me that Golden Tate is a top-tier receiver.
No. Wilson, I'll give you. I don't like the Tom Brady one. We downgrade his receivers because they play with him. We're like, well, Deion Branch. Then he goes elsewhere, and he's still a Pro Bowler. And you're like, okay, I guess he was great. He was a really good receiver he had.
Work with anybody else except for Deion Branch, though.
What? Well, Edelman's a guy everybody knows, and everybody has him on their fantasy, and he's a top 10 type guy. He's been great. He's been amazing.
I know. He's on my team. I drafted him in the sixth round, even though he was suspended for four games.
Yeah, because he's very good. He's a great receiver for what they did. They had him and Amendola.
He's a really good slot receiver.
Yeah, which is what they do. He's
if
really
could
good.
Stay off the, cause
you can't
Cog
say
they off the injured reserved. He would have been the same thing. But I mean, either way,
you can't say that he has nobody because all he has is really good slot receivers and great tight ends and really
just,
an
I'm
incredible
saying,
receiving back.
I'm just saying, though, John, he doesn't have a full on squadron of really good wide receivers. I mean, Kirk Cousins has two of the best receivers in the NFL right now, and can still look very normal at times.
Yeah, he's
Aaron,
a step
this,
down.
This excuse that Aaron Rodgers has no one around him, and that's the reason why. It's not. It's getting old. It's getting really old. And it's
and MVS and EQ have looked
Brett
good.
Favre had too.
And MVS and EQ have looked fine. They're not the problem out there. Those guys are getting open. And Adams is a top five guy. He's as good as Thielen. Just, you know, he doesn't have a second guy as good as Thielen. But he's got one guy who's that good. And then the other guys are also very good. He's got other players around him who can make plays. It just isn't getting them the ball. I was telling Trina, I was like, you know, there really just aren't that many good plays that end with the quarterback still holding the ball. What you should do is get the ball out of your hands as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Is there only good plays when they end with somebody else with the ball? So,
right. And that thing that the Vikings were doing last night where they bring up the three guys right over top of the center and either all three can go or all three can drop or whatever, you got to figure out a way to beat that because it seemed like they got burnt every time the Vikings did that.
I don't know. I think I don't think that one was as big a killer. They mostly just didn't bring any of them. And all
well, the biggest
back.
Killer was, yeah, when the four-man rush was just crushing the offensive line. That was...
Well, they have enough time. They know they'll eventually get through. You can't block them for that long. He's got to get rid of the ball. They needed to run a rhythm play, and they just did not run a rhythm offense last night. They ran just, I don't know. They're praying that the Rodgers would save them, and they need to stop doing that. I watched the Rodgers press meeting afterwards, and I was watching it on my phone because it was on Twitter and stuff. And the people just going on there, and they're like, it's okay, Aaron, we still love you. And I was like, you're the problem. You're the problem. You need to tell him to his face that he's the problem. You need to stop
that's
telling him
the,
you love him for whatever. It doesn't matter. You're making him a monster.
Stunk for 100 years.
Yeah, it's like you need to remind him that he needs to continue practicing. He needs to keep doing the right things. All those little things that he and McCarthy fixed when he came out of Cal that he, by the way, was not doing right. If you go watch his first couple years of practice, he was not doing a lot of things right. He had a lot of things to fix, and they fixed them. But the problem is that then he's just going back now, and he is regressing on all of those things, and he's not playing great. He's a very good quarterback at this point. He's not playing anything like what Breeze is doing because Breeze doesn't care who he's throwing to, and that ball's coming out on time.
And Breeze has been playing for the same coach for longer than he's been playing with McCarthy.
Yeah, he understands what the scheme is, and he's like, this scheme is great because it gets me tons of yards. I'll just keep running it because it doesn't matter what the scheme is. If I run the scheme, everyone else is on board with me, and I will just throw the ball because the ball will come out and I'll still get all my yards. He had 170 some odd yards the other game, and it didn't matter because he let them run the ball because they have great running backs.
It cost me a fantasy football game, John.
It mattered. It did matter. But it didn't cost you anything. I saw your score.
What is it? What are the Saints the number one running team in all of football too? On top of it,
be.
Like most carries per game.
Yeah, that team's loaded. Like that offense is just stacked with people everywhere. I mean,
except a receiver. They've got one good receiver and a bunch of no names, but they've got two really good running backs. They got a good tight end. They've got he's the most underrated quarterback in the history of NFL.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, because it's still, it's like, who's the best quarterback in the league? Well, you know, it's either Brady or Rodgers. It's like, how about Breeze? Like, yeah. That dude's just been...
He should be the MVP at this point. He's the MVP at this point of the year, I think. Him, and he's looked better than Mahomes. He's got a better record. And he's just putting up crazy numbers, too. And it's him or Mahomes at this point. And I think I go with Brady.
And poor Phil Rivers just continues to have a Hall of Fame career out in San Diego, L.A., and nobody even knows he exists.
Yeah, and Eli Manning continues to be average to sub-average, and people still talk about him like he's a Hall of Famer. And he'll still go into the Hall of Fame, even though he shouldn't.
Right.
Anyhow, that's our rant. We're just angry as all get-go. We lost to the passive-aggressive, angry, bitter people from across the river.
Closet alcoholics.
Yeah.
I said it.
Minnesota Nice. Look it up in the Urban Dictionary. The definition is passive-aggressive. As my dad likes to point out, if they were just nice, you wouldn't have to qualify what type of nice you are. There was a great thing, I shared it, of the Minnesota Nice. One guy yelling at a Packer fan for yelling for his own team and then put him in a headlock. And it's so great. It's like a 70-year-old man putting a 25-year-old in a headlock and flipping him over a seat because he was cheering for the Packers. And he said he shouldn't do that. It's so crazy.
Well, you saw what I posted last week down in Chicago, the Chicago or the Vikings fan beating the living H out of a Bears fan who was had his hands out to the side, not trying to fight. And he just kept kept cold cocking him in the back of the head when he was on the ground.
Yep.
That's Minnesota fans there wrapped up into a small little bunch.
As I've said, I've been to games in several different sports in St. Louis, Miami, Boston, Chicago, Twin Cities, Green Bay, you know, Moscow, Idaho, just all over. I have only gone to security twice, and they've both been in Minnesota games. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's just different. And you and I have both lived there, so we aren't just bitter talking about that. We've lived through it, and there's a reason we moved home. But anyhow... Hopefully we've got better news. Hopefully we're more upbeat for you next week. We don't have a Badger football game to talk about. We'll be watching the Big Ten title game just like the Badgers will. And should have some good Badger football or Badger, pardon me. We'll have some good Badger basketball, hopefully some good hockey for you. And hopefully the Packers give us something to look forward to here and the Bucks can keep our heads above water. But
hey, anyhow, I got something positive for you right off the bat, John.
Yeah.
Lower level. Row 29, $58 this weekend.
Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
Because nobody wants to watch them play the Cardinals.
Those tickets will sell, though. It'll still be sold out. It's a great experience. I love Lambeau. It's just one of the greatest places I've ever watched a football game. I did like the Miami Stadium. That was also a really cool place. It had a good sense of history, and it's interesting. But as we like to remind you, you can find us at Twitter, at jbarn54, at scannyjohnny. Of course, Aaron's over at Cheddar Talk. Cheddar Talk, it's like
at
cheese
talk,
and
talk,
talk like talk. You can send us all your hate mail. You can tell us all your wonderful passive-aggressive Minnesota stuff if you want to at scannyjohnny@gmail.com, of course. And remember, from now until you hear from us again here, that you can, whether you're on the town or whether you're on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
Oh my god, John, 13th row for $64. Woo!